Welcome to the Sermon of the Week podcast from Indianola First in Indianola, Iowa. We pray this message will encourage you and help you grow as you deepen your relationship with Jesus.
Today we start a new series entitled The Power of Generosity. Turn to your neighbor and say, this is going to be good. And I know what some of you are thinking. Oh boy, here we go. This means we're going to ask for money. But that's actually not where I'm going with this at all. Generosity goes much further than putting money in the offering plate. It's less about doing something in a moment and more about a constant posture of the heart. A posture of the heart that we live our lives from. I mean, if generosity were just about money in the offering, Jesus wouldn't have talked about it so much. He showed us that generosity is about the heart and that it really does affect everything in our life. So let me define for you what I mean by generosity, and it's going to kind of be our definition throughout this three-week series. Generosity is the joyful, willing release of what God has entrusted to us so that His kingdom can advance through us. It's knowing that everything we have is really His. And we are more like stewards or managers of what He's given us rather than owners. Generosity flows out of a heart that is right with God and understands that everything we have is from Him. He's entrusted you with it. And the question is, how will you release it back to Him so that His kingdom grows? So we're going to jump into the scripture right away today. Matthew 25:14 says this, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, again, which really means he's not changing the subject from what he's been talking about. He talked about the signs of the end times in chapter 24 and how we need to be watchful and faithful servants. And then chapter 25, he begins talking about the kingdom of heaven and what it will be like. He tells the parable of the 10 virgins, which is about being watchful for Christ's return. How many are watching for Christ's return? You're excited about it. Amen. Then he goes right into this parable. The parable of the talents is often called. By saying, again. So he's referring back to the kingdom of heaven. He says that the kingdom of heaven will be like a man going on a journey who entrusted his wealth to them. So all of this parable is in reference to his kingdom. And we have to keep that in mind as we go through this. Verse 15. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and he hid his master's money. This is a very familiar scripture, isn't it? Verse 19, after a long time, put a pin in that, would you? Just in that, in this verse, 19. The master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. I'm giving it back to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed? Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Again, I want you to see that this passage is about the kingdom of God. The man who went away on a journey is Jesus. He didn't leave the earth and tell his church to wait quietly until he came back. He didn't say, hold the fort or hold on to what you have been entrusted with. This parable does not give us permission to have this survival kind of mentality, a survive until we reach heaven kind of thing. It's quite the opposite. It's about expanding his kingdom on earth while our king is away. Expanding his kingdom on earth while he is away. We know he left, he ascended into heaven, and we know he's coming back, and we're waiting for it, right? Everything Jesus has entrusted us with is meant to advance his kingdom, not preserve our comfort. I want you to just think about that for a second. Everything Jesus has entrusted us with, everything, is meant to what? Advance his kingdom, not preserve our comfort. I mean, maybe that's a hard thing to say. I didn't hear any amens, but that's a great statement. It's a hard statement when you think about it. It's a convicting statement when you think about it. It's hard to take that and go, does my life line up with that? Or is what I've been given, is it merely for my comfort? Everything Jesus has entrusted us with is meant to advance his kingdom, not preserve our comfort. And this morning, I want to focus on just one of those things that he's entrusted us with, our time. Remember when I said we need to put a pin in verse 19? Let's go back to verse 19, Matthew 25, 19. After a long what? The master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. One of the themes that this parable deals with is time. After a long time. Time here represents the time between Jesus' departure, his ascension, his departure from his followers, and the time when he returns. We are living in this time period right now. It's called the church age. It's the age in which grace is being offered to humanity. It's a window in which his kingdom can be built, a window that will soon close forever. I want you to understand something, church. This age of grace, this time where his grace is available and people can choose him and have their sins forgiven and wiped away, and you can receive Jesus as your personal Savior, that is not a forever thing. It's not. There will come a time when it's too late. And we don't like talking about that so much. We don't like thinking about that. But there will be a time when it's too late. Today is the day of salvation. Right now, we're in this grace period. We have an opportunity. But there will be a day when the window closes, the door closes, and there will be no opportunity for those that we love, those that we know, those that are around us, who maybe haven't made that choice yet. I think that's an important thing to understand. Well, that seems kind of mean, Pastor Barry. That seems like God's sort of mean. No, he's given every opportunity. Every opportunity imaginable. This church age, it's the age in which grace is being offered to humanity. It's a window in which the kingdom can be built. A window that will soon close forever. And I say soon because I believe Jesus is coming back soon. And when he comes back, that window closes, folks. It just closes. There'll be a short time when some can be saved. God's going to be faithful to his promise to Abraham, and there'll be some saved. During that time of tribulation and turmoil, there'll be some that are saved. But the window's closing. It will eventually completely close. And notice in this parable that the master is gracious and generous to his servants. He'd given them charge over his possessions. And then when he returns, his generosity continues to his faithful servants. But to the unfaithful servant, it's like his grace has run out. Our time is something that Jesus has entrusted to us. Our time is something that Jesus has entrusted to us. And we are to continue with our time the work that Jesus began. Luke 4, 18 through 19 says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me," this is Jesus speaking, "because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is what building the kingdom looks like. This was Jesus building the kingdom. This is what his purpose was. This is what he did while he was on earth. And guess what? Since he's left, we have been in charge of that same thing. We are anointed to proclaim the good news to the poor. We have been sent to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's us now. That's our job, to build his kingdom until he returns again. It's like he handed the baton off to us and said, "Okay, church, I'm gonna give you the charge, but I'm also going to give you the Holy Spirit. We know that the Holy Spirit came on us, on the church on the day of Pentecost, right? So I'm going to empower you to do what I've been doing. You get to do it now. It's on you. It's what you're supposed to be doing." While he's gone, he has entrusted us with time, at least in part, to advance his kingdom. You know, I recently watched a movie that I had never really seen before or really ever heard a lot about. It's the movie In Time. Some of you might know the movie. It's a sci-fi flick that basically explores a world in which time is spent as currency. It's set in the future where people have been genetically designed to stop aging at 25. How many think that'd be a good idea? And they're given 1 year on their 25th birthday, they're given one more year to live. And when that year is up, you run out of time and you die. But if you go to work, they pay you with time. Some of that time has to be used for food, for shelter, for clothing. If you want some coffee on the way to work, you pay so many minutes of your time. And in the movie, people could give others time or give others some of their own time like a gift. And there were those who gambled away time, robbed, and stole time from others. It's kind of a crazy movie, but really, it does make you think. What if our time here on earth was more like currency that we could spend? Would that change how we think about our time? In the movie, they could look at their own arms, and there was like this LED clock glowing through their skin. And it was counting down the time they had left, down to the second. If we always knew exactly how much time we had left, how would we spend it differently? Would we invest it more purposefully? Would we waste as much of it as we all do? God has given us a life measured in time, church. We don't know how much of it we have left, but we should see it as a gift that has been entrusted to us. We have been entrusted with time. And understand that enjoying life with our time, it's not the problem. Investing our time for personal growth and development or even rest is not the issue. The question of generosity with our time is this: will we surrender our time back to God and allow it to be invested in what he is building? Are we willing to be intentional enough with the time he has given us that we can offer him a return on his investment? Quickly this morning, I want to give you three little nuggets of truth regarding your time. Number one, we are commissioned to give our time. We're commissioned to give our time. We have a great commission, do we not? It's not a great suggestion, by the way. It's a great commission. Matthew 28, 19 through 20, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." It takes time to go and make disciples. How many know that's true? It takes time to invest in people. It takes time to teach them the ways of the Lord. This is all part of building and advancing his kingdom. We could name some things that require time, things that advance his kingdom. Volunteering in the church nursery or in kids' church. Don't think for a second that changing poopy diapers in the church nursery is not part of kingdom advancement. If young parents can't get a break for an hour and a half on a Sunday morning because there are those who aren't generous enough to put their time in, they may not come to church at all. They may not have an opportunity to hear. If someone does volunteer, if someone does invest the time, how many like changing poopy diapers? You just love it. Good, there's no liars in here today. They're all telling the truth. Nobody likes that. And how many know it's worse when it isn't your own kids' diaper? Something about it. I don't know. When time is invested, even in that, it advances his kingdom. There's no doubt about it. If you help in the kitchen or dining room on Sunday morning, how many ate a buffet this morning? Was it good? There's about 100 people that came in there and ate. About 100 people got breakfast today. If you were helping in the kitchen or dining room on a Sunday morning and people find it easier and more appealing to come to church because of the great food and fellowship that's offered, it may plow up the soil of their hearts enough for the Word of God to be planted in them more effectively, and his kingdom advances. You may not make those connections, but they're real. I get to see them as pastor a lot of times. I get to see how this, caused this, and then this person got right with God because of it. And it seems like such a little thing. Well, that's not really investing my time in Jesus. I mean, I didn't prepare a message. I didn't preach from a pulpit. You don't have to. The Bible says if you give a cup of cold water in his name, every little thing matters. Every little thing. It's all investing in the kingdom. If you generously give your time to greet people as they come into the church, you smile at them and even call them by name when you can, it can affect the whole atmosphere of the church experience that Sunday. And his kingdom advances. If you volunteer some time to the various tech and media teams, which praise God we have tech and media teams here that are good, that are wonderful, that strive for excellence. I'm telling you, it advances his kingdom. If you pray for people at the altar or while chatting with them as part of our online campus pastor ministry, his kingdom is advanced. You understand, everything you do within the church, especially everything you do, advances his kingdom. And I understand that you can give time to kingdom work outside the church. I know that. All of us should do that. But we really try to make it easy for you in church. Try to make it easy. If you give time generously to the incredible youth and youth ministry of this church, his kingdom advances. There are things that we did 22 years ago as a church that are affecting the youth of Indianola today. And I could name them, but I'm not going to do that because I don't want to name names. But I've seen it. It's an amazing thing. The kingdom advances. If you generously make your time available to practice and really master your musical gifts, whether it's singing or playing an instrument, for the purpose of bringing his people into worship, there is no doubt that it is time spent advancing his kingdom. That's good investment of time. Releasing the time God has entrusted you in order to be on the host team, the nursing home ministry, a visitation team, security team. I thank God for our security team. Being on the board of elders, life group leaders, really any area of the church, it all advances his kingdom. Generosity is the joyful, willing release of what God has entrusted to us, one of those things being time, so that his kingdom can advance through us. And of course, time is one of those things that we release back to God. And church, time spent on your marriage advances the kingdom. Time spent raising your children in the way they should go, being an example for them, and for others. It all advances the kingdom. Even working as unto the Lord at your job, at your career, with the right attitude and motive, that advances the kingdom of God. If you have that generosity thing, that posture of the heart that says, everything you have, God, is everything I have is yours. Everything I have, you've given me, and I release it back to you to do what you want with me. It advances the kingdom. And it's not about, let's see if I can fit this in my schedule. It's more like, it's all his, and it just kind of flows out all the time. And let's not forget that his delay in returning, it actually creates the window of time for us to build his kingdom. I mean, I am all about getting excited for the rapture, for when he returns, phase one, right? We talked about that a couple weeks ago. I'm all for that. But his delay in coming back is our opportunity. We long to see Jesus come for his bride, but let's never just sit back on our laurels and wait. Let's be busy about the Father's business, the commissioned work that he has called all of us to do. It's a great commission to all believers, not a great suggestion to those who might say yes. All of us. Turn to your neighbor and don't yell. Say, all of us. Don't scream in their face. We are commissioned to give our time. It takes time to do the work of the ministry. It takes time to invest in people's lives, to win people to Christ. It takes time. Number two, kingdom advancement, which is what we should be about, requires time investment. The faithful servants in the parable didn't wait around until the time seemed right, did they? They went at once and put to work that which they had been given. Matthew 25, 15 through 17. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once. You see that? He went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. We tend to read this story and we get hung up on the amounts of money, what was given and what was gained. But it's easy to miss the fact that they wasted no time in building wealth for their master. And I got to tell you, wealth for our master may not be what you think it is. Our master, our king, Jesus, considers people his wealth. This is why when even one sinner turns to Christ, all of heaven rejoices. It's the advancement of his kingdom, and it happens whenever servants of God are generous with the time they have been given and invest it in kingdom work. 1 Corinthians 15, 58, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. It's not in vain. Amen. It makes a difference. Time invested in the kingdom work is never time wasted, folks. Even if you don't see the results right away, it's not in vain. Evangelism is not just an event we plan and create. It's a lifestyle that we all should be living all the time. Yes. Being generous with your time means that you have just got this posture. Being generous, period. You have this posture within your heart where you're just willing to give back everything that's been given to you, including time. We don't give time to the kingdom because we have extra. I know our schedules are busy. We give it back because our king is worth it, and the eternities of people are worth it. You know, time itself will eventually come to an end. But the impact of generously investing your time in his kingdom will always remain. In the parable, the master eventually returned, and the accounts were settled. They were settled. Nothing eternal is ever built or advanced without time generously given. Somebody, somewhere. I, Folks, you're sitting in here today. How many like your church? You love your church. Yeah, I love our church. Amen. But you're sitting here today because of a family 10 doors down on Kenwood years and years ago in the 40s said, we need a Pentecostal church that makes a difference in this community. And they met in their living room as a Bible study. They prayed and prayed for God to open the doors for a pastor to come to Indianola and be a part of helping them start this church. Happened in the 40s. You're sitting here today because of what they did. Time that they invested. Kingdom advancement requires time investment. And point three, wasted time equals missed opportunities. Wasted time equals missed opportunities. Ephesians 5, 15 through 16. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. We got some evil days out there. We're rushing very quickly to this place in our culture and in our world where man will be so perplexed there's no answer to the problem. I think we've been there a long time. I think just everybody's seeing it. There's no answer. There's no right way. I mean, there is right and wrong. I'm not saying that. But no matter what you do, it seems wrong over here. And it's just all, you know what I'm saying? How do you fix it? It's a mess. The days are evil. Be very careful then how you live. He's talking to Christians here. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. What if we took an inventory of our time? If you live to be 85 years old, you have 31,046 days on this earth. That's 745,110 hours. I did the math. If you consider 8 hours a day for sleeping, that leaves us just shy of 500,000 hours in our lives, 500,000, which is about 20,697 days that we spend awake. What are we doing with those 20,000 days that you basically have on this earth? Take a day or a week, log everything you did each hour. Pray about it and see if adjustments need to be made. Phone time, television time, work time, family time, time spent on personal hobbies, time spent in devotions, time spent entertaining ourselves, time spent driving, time spent getting ready in the morning, time spent in church. What can be changed? What shouldn't be changed? Just log it, look at it, pray over it, and say, God, show me. I think that'd be a good idea. Psalm 90, 12 says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Church, life is short. When we give an account of the stewardship we displayed in reference to our time, will it be something that we're proud of? Because we will give an account for everything that we said, how we spent our time, what we did here on this earth. Will it be something we're proud of? James 4:14, why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Life is short, church. You know, the third servant buried what he had. He simply dug a hole, buried what his master had entrusted to him. He preserved it, but produced nothing. And we are told in the parable itself, the motivating factor for why he did this. He was fearful. It says it right there. He was fearful, so he buried it. Fear holds so many people back. But instead of fearing what may happen in the here and now, maybe we should fear what could happen in the future when we stand before the Lord and give an account. I'm not trying to hammer you this morning with the word of God, but as you read this parable and you think about generosity and you think about the time that has been vested into us by the Lord himself and what we're doing with it, I don't know about you, but it convicts me. Yeah. I can come up with all sort of wasted time. And I'm a full-time pastor. So maybe we need to get a new one if you're wasting that much time. Well, I hope your new one's as honest as me. I'm trying to be honest and transparent. We all waste time. I wonder how many Christians will say to Jesus on the day we stand before him and give an account for all we've done with what we've been given. I wonder if many will say, Lord, I made it. I didn't let my faith fall apart. My salvation is intact, and I'm here for my reservation in heaven. Matthew 25, 29 through 30. We already read it, but for whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I don't know how you interpret that, but it doesn't sound good. Understand, it's not just ignorance within the servant, like he didn't know. This is willful non-engagement. And can I just say something blunt this morning? You'll let me be blunt as a spoon, won't you? The American church is full of servants like that. I got Jesus. I'm good to go. I've got Jesus. It's going to be all right. I'm going to heaven. I got my reservation made. And I'm not talking about a works-based salvation. I'm talking about a salvation that is so overwhelming to you because you understand it and you realize what Jesus Christ has done for you that you can't help but give him back what he's given to you. And let yourself be used, however that looks in your life. And let yourself be used in every area of your life. The scripture isn't saying here, you didn't earn enough servants, so you're going to be cast out. It's, you did nothing with what I gave you. It's not even about the amount that was given to him. He just did nothing with what was given him. Actually, because he was given less than the other servants, I think God knew, and he was giving him some grace. He says, I'll just give him a little bit so it's not such a big thing for him. Like, showed him grace. He still didn't do anything with it. The kingdom of God doesn't advance or grow through preservation, church. It only advances through our willful and intentional participation. We've said it already a number of times. The definition of generosity is the joyful, willful release of what God has entrusted to us so that his kingdom can advance through us. And can I just tell you a secret? There is nothing more exciting than seeing the kingdom advance through you because of your willingness to release time to God. There's nothing as exciting as that. There is nothing that will give you joy like that. There's nothing that will put a smile on your face like that. There's no high when you've helped somebody get a little bit closer to Jesus, when you've helped someone find their place, their reservation in heaven, when you win somebody to the Lord, when you help raise them up, when you rescue them or develop them or are a part of deploying them, which is our church's vision statement, rescue, develop, deploy. And I got to tell you, the power of that kind of generosity when you joyfully, willfully release that which God has given you, that kind of generosity, it has no bounds. Like, it doesn't stop. It produces a harvest of fruit where there's been no sowing, a gathering of a crop where no seeds have been scattered, and the fruit produces more fruit and more fruit and more fruit, and it's just ongoing. I got to tell you, I'm still a little overwhelmed by last week's baptisms, hearing stories that were 20-plus years in the making, how this person, who was a turkey that came to church, and they continued to be a turkey, brought some people, maybe family members, and then those family members brought somebody else, and those family members married somebody else, and that person is being touched today, even though the first person who was a turkey isn't around anymore. Understand, church, time invested actually returns back and it produces fruit. It's not wasted time. When the people of God joyfully and willingly release the time that God has entrusted to them so that the kingdom can advance, wow, look out. The investment has multiplicative ramifications. It will multiply. Some of you have heard about, you know, would you rather have $1 million or would you have a penny a day for a month? $1 million for a month's work or a penny a day doubled every day for a month? And so many would say $1 million, but a penny will doubled every day for a month will far exceed $1 million. It's like that. That's how the kingdom of God works. It works off multiplication. Seeds planted, time invested will always multiply, and you'll see fruit continuing to go forth. You can't stop. What is that song? Can't stop the feeling? You can't stop the fruit. Even when you don't see it right away. Generosity. Joyfully and willingly releasing that which God has given you. Just bow your heads this morning. I'm done preaching. Talking about time. We all been given a measure of time. Are we willing to give it back to Him? And however that looks for you, Lord God, we come before you this morning, and God, I'll just pray a prayer for all of us. Guilty as charged. Wasted time. Throwing effort after foolishness. Being all about personal comfort. And even though those things are fine in moderation, God, help us be balanced in our time. Help us not just search for maybe where we can squeeze you in, but God, let this be a total heart thing, a posture of our heart, if you will, where our whole life is given back to you. We release, Lord Jesus, this morning, our time to you. And we say, help us figure it out. If we got stuff in there that doesn't need to be there, Lord, help us set those boundaries. Help us stop the waste. Help us put a plug, Lord, in our boat that seems to be sinking, our boat of time, because we're just so stinking busy all the time. Lord, we want you. And we pray so often in this place, let us be your hands and feet. God, we want to be your hands and feet. So we release that gift of time that you've given us, that measure of time, we release it back to you and say, use us, God, however you will, to build your kingdom until you return. Help us take our eyes off the things of this world and help us just want you and what you want to build. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.